Before I start, let me just tell you that we've got a very important leaders meeting in a little while. So the beneficiary of that is you guys. I'm going to trim it way back this morning because we've got a big meeting in a little while, and I'm not going to. I just want you to know that it's going to be a more compacted service. But before I do that, I got to go back and clear something up last week because my wife threw me under the bus. Now that she's not, like, we've spent several weeks up here, you know, sitting beside each other and table talk with you guys. And last week I told you it was like sharing a bucket of chicken with you guys, and we just talked. But man, she threw me under the bus. You remember that? I do. You know why I remember it? Because you didn't get thrown under the bus. I did. So in my defense, she didn't throw me under too hard. But she started telling you guys what one of my weaknesses was. Do you remember what it was? Traffic. I hear a little hint of mother-in-law sentences back there. But here's the thing about it. She exposed what she thought was my weakness, but for my defense, I want to say, I don't want y'all to think I drive around going nuts all the time. Somebody came in this morning, came straight to me and said, I saw you in traffic this week. I wanted to say, were you scared? The truth is, I'm not a speeder. I mean, I'm not 18 anymore, so I don't have to do that. I don't peel rubber off my tires. They cost too much. I've got some understanding. I don't want to get speeding tickets because it raises your insurance. I've never had a speeding ticket, ever. And so the time, here's the thing. Here's how I explain it. When I'm by myself, it's cool. When I'm by myself, you can just about do anything. You can get up on my bumper. You can fly past me, and I'll just say, go ahead. Be a good little decoy for me because the policeman will get you, and I'll just drive on through. But I don't speed. After she said that last week, I had at least three incidences this week where people got up on me, blew their horn at me, and I was sitting there scratching my head. I was thinking, what did I do? Because I live by this principle. I live by this principle. All your critics aren't wrong. So if everybody's blowing the horn at me and my wife's telling me to slow down, but I'll explain it. So I'm in a court of law right now. I told you, I've preached this before. You need to start looking at your relationship with the Lord like you're standing in a courtroom. So I'm turning into my neighborhood. I'm coming off of 45 miles an hour, what the posted speed limit is. I'm slowing down. I give a long signal, probably 200 yards. I slow down because I've got a trailer on the back of my truck. I slow down to turn in my neighborhood. Everything seems just right, but somebody's on my bumper. And then once I turn, and they drive on. And I was like, what was that all about? I did nothing wrong. I had another instance where the traffic light was, and we've got an officer here this morning. I was going through a traffic light, and it goes to yellow. You know what I mean? And you got to make that decision. Am I going to, or am I going to, so I went with the wah, wah. So I'm speaking a new language, but y'all get it. So the car beside me was actually a little bit in front of me. But they went, but I went, wah, wah. And to match my wah, wah, they said, wah. They were blowing at me because I chose to go through. I don't know if they were telling everybody else, here comes the fool, he's going through, everybody watch out. Or they were just mad because I did it and they didn't. And it made me get a little bit in front of them. And then there was another person that just cut me off, I think twice this week. I got completely cut off. And I'm like, I should be mad. And then this was what happened. They cut me off, and then the light changed red, and they had to stop. Bald-headed, heavy-set, bearded guy in an old pickup truck. And I knew that we were going to end up beside each other. And I thought, well, how will this go? And they were scrambling to get away from me. They cut out the other lanes and got way over here. And I knew what it was. They didn't want to have to look me in the eye because they just blew the horn unnecessarily. And they cut me off and all that. So to say in my defense, I'm pretty innocent. But here's the thing. That's when I'm by myself. Here's the difference. What she's talking about is when we're on the interstate, particularly when we go up Highway 81, the strip of pavement paved out of brimstone from hell, through Virginia, the truck drivers have lost their minds because there's so many low places and high places, and they build up speed so they can come back up the other side. But it's a 70-mile-an-hour zone, so the time they get up to the other side, they're down to 62, 45, 40. But they decided to pass their trucker buddy friend during all that, so I have to wait. Fun, right? Okay, Christine, so.
Get them too.
No, but what makes me lose it a little bit, it's not that they did that. I kind of get the give and take of what they've got to do, the ebb and flow of traffic. What bothers me to no end is if they took a chance that cost my family their lives. That's where, and I don't throw anything, but if you knew what was going through my head, you'd pray for your pastor more. But see, there's a part that is a protector role. If it's just me in there, it's all good. I really don't care. But if my family's there, it changes the atmosphere. How many of you can say, I get that? When somebody cuts you off and your family's there, and it could have caused injury to your family, that's a different situation. So that's my only defense. That's what I wanted to tell you. But this is about things that passion. We can't be passionate about everything, but everybody's passionate about something. At least I hope you are. Because if you're not passionate about something, you're going to be the most boring person in the world to be around. You got to be passionate about something. And it's going to be hard for you to be passionate about something that you don't like, right? Most people that are passionate about something that they really like, and they're passionate about it, and it comes out of them. So, I said all of that to say this. The last trip that we took, I worked it very differently. I actually cast things in my favor, and I simply slowed down. Instead of trying to go set, because I'm not going to speed very much. I'm just not going to speed very much. I might go a little bit over, but it's not going to be my habit. My family's there. You understand? But what I decided to do, you remember? I got in the right lane. I set my cruise control. And the only time I passed somebody is when I really needed to pass somebody so that they were keeping me from going the speed limit. You know, just. And at the end, she commented. She said, John, I'm proud of you. You did it. I'm like, yeah, I did. And all it really took me doing was just slowing down a little bit to gain a proper perspective of the situation that was in hand. And you know what it did? It promoted peace in my whole family. It promoted peace in the car. There's a place that my mother-in-law sits in the car, and it's right back here behind me in the back seat. And you know why she sits right there? So she can watch my eyes. She can see my eyes through the rearview mirror. And she's always checking on me. John, are you okay? Are you too tired? You okay? And she'll just, if I'm having a rough time, she'll just keep talking to me. It's a good thing. Promotes peace. So, I want to turn a scripture to you I've never preached this scripture before, and it's very short, but I got a little bit of a different meaning out of this for us today. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And I'm just saying, how do I promote peace in my home? We've been talking about discipleship. The root of discipleship is discipline. Discipline, I don't think that discipline is necessarily easy for everybody. Some people can have a better response to discipline because maybe they are naturally bent in that area to line things up better. Some people are great at organization already. It just comes naturally to them. So for them to have discipline and keep things in order, it's not that big of a deal. But somebody who is like me, who's not that great at discipline, at order, for me to do things to keep complete order, that's a little bit harder for me. Is that fair to say? Do you understand what I'm saying with that? So when it comes to discipline, sometimes it's just me finally coming to grips with, if I change something just a little bit and do that over and over and over again, I'm going to have a more peaceful life. Okay? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11 through 14. This is a closing prayer, a closing benediction of this chapter right here. Of this book. It's two books long, several chapters Paul has written to the Corinthian church. And he's actually, this second time that he's writing them, it's because they are very disgruntled with Paul. And Paul sends one of the disciples over, or apostles over, to, they're apostles now, they're apostles by this time. So he sends one of them to go talk to the church at Corinth and convince them that Paul is not this bad guy. They just got a bad taste in their mouth about Paul. Paul would send letters and straighten a whole body of people out. And they weren't happy with Paul. They didn't think that he carried himself right. They didn't think he looked right. They thought that he was hunched over. And he just didn't make a great statement. But he could write something with his pen that would bring everybody back into order because he had an anointing from God. And if this is the very end, and the report comes back to them, Paul, they have accepted you. He was the apostle that God, the scripture says that he brought Paul in out of season. He didn't come and follow the ranks like everybody else. He was different. So with that, there was a defense that he had that people made him feel like, is this guy even for real? And when you understand his circumstances and what he came out of, then you understand why those things follow. It's a lot about human nature. But the end of this chapter, he gives this benediction. He says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's something they did back there. We don't do that much. But sometimes we do. But you don't see that very often. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Why did I read that? Because about every one of his letters, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to second book. You don't have to, I'll go there for you, but I'll read it. First chapter, second verse. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord of Jesus Christ. All right, the end of Corinthians, what we just read. Let's go to Galatians, another separate letter. Chapter 1, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This just resonated me. As we're talking about discipleship, and we've come through, I don't know, 10, 12 weeks of studying, and only a couple of those I've just outright preached. Most of those have been basically everything that Christine and I have about discipleship. We've put our heads together. We've just about squeezed everything out of us that has to do with discipleship. And I think we've actually got one more that we're going to do together. And then we're going to move to a whole new topic that I'm very excited about. And that's going to be about truth matters. The truth matters. How many of you know, just on the side note, the truth matters? And there is a truth. And it is Jesus. And it's one of his names. And it's his principles. And it's his word. And we can live by that. And it matters. But Paul is saying right here, grace and peace to you. So when he's coming into contact with people, grace and peace to you. And when he's leaving, it's grace and peace to you. There's something to that. It's casting things in your favor. And he's saying this, there's a way to live. And it's a way, a life of grace and peace. And if you can get this, he's not saying this to be wordy. He's giving you a repetition of this so that you finally understand grace and peace to you. And this is what he says. Finally, brethren, farewell. I'm leaving here. I'm going somewhere else. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. He ends with this because this is what he started with. Be of good comfort. He starts the first part of this book, 2 Corinthians, out telling people, you're going to go up against stuff. You're going to have stuff. And the God that has comforted me and all the other apostles will comfort you too. You remember reading that? The God that comforts all of us will comfort you too. And you need to take this into the equation. He comforted, he comforts, and he will comfort. So he is the God of all comfort. And he's saying this, you're probably not going to have to go through everything that I'm going through. But what I'm going through, you take comfort out of what I went through because I'll come out of it. And if you have to go through anything like that, take that comfort with you that God will bring you through too. That's pretty good news, isn't it? What he's saying is that my life is an example. How many of you remember when Paul said this? Follow me as I follow Christ. Can I tell you that's one of the boldest statements out of a man's mouth that I read in the Bible? Follow me as I follow the Lord. But in Paul's case, it was actually a really, really good opportunity. Because he's laying his life as an example. And he's at the spear point of the whole thing. So he's saying, be of good comfort. And he preached that the whole first chapter, or most of the first chapter. If you go through things, you probably won't go through them as hard as I've had to go through them and the other apostles. But look at the comfort that God has given us. So that's our testimony to each other. It's what you did with your friend, Abel, Billy. You said, hey, you know what? My retinas were detached from my eyeballs. I had to sit there for a whole week, and I had to keep my head in one position. I don't know that I felt much more sorry for anybody than I felt when I saw you. And I remember when you looked up at me, when you had your head in, it looked like a massage chair or something like that, but had your face down in that. But when you looked up at me, you just looked like blood all in. Hannah, I know that you guys remember that, doesn't it? It looked pretty scary, didn't it? And I was like, brother might not be seeing very much longer. It might be fitting him for some dark shades. That's just what I was thinking inside. And the Lord touched you, and thank God you got your sight back, and you have... He has very good vision. But be of good comfort. And here's the thing he's telling them. Become complete. And here's the completeness. Here's three ways to be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. live in peace. There's not a whole lot of times where the Bible gives us formulaic things, formulas, but this is a formula right here that progresses. Each step helps you a little bit more. Number one, be complete. Be of good comfort. What does that do? That puts your eyes on the Lord, on what He's done. You get a testimony from someone else who's been through something. You know how encouraging it is to know that somebody else has come through what you're going through? Has anybody ever received that kind of comfort? I told the men this morning when we had Kinsey, there were only a very few number of cases in the world. Kinsey was on the front side of her disease. She was only about 10 years into her disease that children were even living. 10 years earlier, 95% of the children that were born with what she had died within the first month. And if that seems kind of hopeless, well, let me just seam it up for you. The other 5% died at the end of 2 months. So nobody made it past 2 months if you were born with what she had. But she lived 20 years. She was the first, she was the front side. Now people will benefit from everything that my daughter went. Anybody that's born with that, they will benefit from what she did. How do I feel about that? Thank you for redeeming some of that, Lord, but I still don't have my daughter. Right? But we go through things. Are you getting the picture that I'm trying to help you understand right now? Christine and I would have paid any amount of money that we had to have somebody tell us that there's a chance with our daughter. Some little ray of sunshine. Some amount of comfort, meaning somebody has already been through this. Don't tell me that your trouble, that your problem, that your issue, that your valley, that this thing that you're going through isn't important. Don't tell me that it's not redeemable. Don't tell me that all you feel is the pain of what you're going through. You've got to see yourself coming out. You got to see yourself. You got to believe that God loves you and is going to bring you out. During the COVID, when they shut the schools down and they did just the learning at home, our son Walker, it affected him. And he said this. He said, "Mom, I feel so alone." And I know the Lord gave her this word. It came right out of her. She said, "Son, you're not alone. You just feel lonely." That's a good word. I've been there. You've been there. I'm not alone. Scripture says I'm not alone. But do I feel lonely? Yes. But what's he saying right here? He's saying, be complete. Get this picture. Be of good comfort. Then let that progress you so that you can be of one mind. See, we're all going through something. We'll start feeling like we're on an island. We'll start feeling like we're the only ones. But the truth is, we've all come through something. And we're all going through something. And if we're at the top of something, well, let me forecast something for you. As long as you're breathing and living, you're probably going to stay on that slope a little while. Slope, I just called it. Now you got to go down the slope to come up to the other side. Why? Our lives have ups and downs on them, right? Well, does not the Scripture say that we go from glory to glory? How do we get there? He does not say you live on the glory. I got to be careful. I'm just going to forget about some other church. That there are some churches that makes you want to think that where you live is supposed to be up here all the time. And if you don't, something's wrong with you. If you don't live up here all the time, you're probably not playing tithes. I'm just sorry. I just had to say it. Well, when he said you live, you go from glory to glory. You don't go from glory to glory like, I'm at the top. I got to get to the other glory. Glory! Sorry, I apologize for that fully. Sorry for that. Sometimes I should tell you, just close your eyes so you don't get that mental picture. I felt like a fairy for a second there. Let me tell you how you go from glory to glory. Like this. And you might scrub around down there for a while. And somebody might tell you, well, you're coming back up. God says you're coming up. And you go lower. Because they loved you, but they didn't really know. Because only God knows. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know what Paul went through? Can I tell you that he lived down there, it seemed like, more than he lived up here? His glories were steep. But he paid for them deep. From glory to glory. You got to get your mind set there. You got to let your mind go to that place. Sometimes a crying child, you're going to learn it. Sometimes your child is going to cry. When she gets a little bit older, they're going to cry. And the only thing that's going to change their view is seeing something different. I'll tell you what will bring a kid out of crying. A candy bar. They can be like, sorry, don't look. They can whine and cry, but all of a sudden, that's a big candy bar. You put a candy bar in front of them, they're like, huh? Now they're crying for the candy bar. Sometimes somebody needs change so much that change just looks like something different than what they're going through right then. And you've got to, you can't live on emotional things, and there's going to come a time in your life as you mature when a candy bar is not going to bring you out of that place. Be nice to think that you're only from your house to the QT to get out of this thing, but that's not the case. That's not the case. Just to get to the next candy bar, I wish it were that easier. But you can fix your mind. I will not stay here forever. I have not been forgotten about. I feel lonely, but it's just a feeling. I'm not alone. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. And the last thing is actually a result. Live in peace. It's not an instruction. Because I can tell you to live in peace. Oh, just have peace. And you'll be like, you don't understand what I just told you. If your response to me is just live in peace. Has anybody ever tried to encourage you with the word, oh, just trust in the Lord, and you wanted to say, I wish I hadn't even told you what I was going through. Have you ever bore your soul to someone and immediately regretted it? Can I tell you, your soul is not meant for everybody's consumption. What's going on inside of you is not for public consumption. I got a friend right now who's struggling with something in their life, but they've told everybody they come into contact what their battle is right now, and I want to tell him, stop doing that. You are setting yourself up. You are slow pitching your own disappointment, and they're going to knock your feelings right out of the park. It's not for everybody. Find somebody. Find somebody. Paul did say, follow me as I follow the Lord. Find somebody that's following the Lord. And that person can be a voice in your ear. They can be a shoulder for you to cry on and to tell. Because as humans, we need that so that you can live in peace. You have anybody in your life that you could tell anybody anything to? And the end of that is that, I feel like I can make it now. I feel better now. Mine is right there. She's right there all day long. First choice, right there. something bothers me enough. And let me just tell you that the relationship that I have with her after 28 years of marriage and being together 32 years. Now, I know you're thinking, I met her when I was 4. Let's go ahead and settle that. But she is so inclined to me and knows me well enough that she'll say, honey, what's wrong? And I'll be like, nothing. 2 or 3 days will pass and I'll tell her something. Oh, yeah, there was something wrong. And I didn't even know it was wrong. She knew that it was wrong before I even knew that it was wrong. I mean, I knew what it was, but I thought I was just like cool with it, you know? But she knew something's not just right about it. You see that light? Don't mess with me. I mean, it's right there. I can make it happen. That wasn't timing. It was my timing. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That right there encapsulates all three parts of the Godhead. It lists them. Jesus Christ, God, the Father, the Holy Spirit. Jesus will give you His grace. God will give you His love. The Holy Spirit will give you the fellowship of His communion. Can I tell you how powerful that is? What He's saying, I have never seen it like this before. But if you do these things, the end result is not an instruction. It's that you will live in peace. Encapsulated with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that there's nothing in the authoritative Godhead that's held back from you if you'll do your part? Why is it that we're struggling for peace? Paul was saying it in the beginning of his letters and at the end of his letters. Welcome. Hey, greetings. I'm going to write you this letter. Grace and peace to you. All right, y'all take care, obey the words I got, and I gave you grace and peace to you. And we're living this life struggling. God, I just need some peace. Paul, why's Paul got it and I don't have it? But Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Maybe if I did what he did, I'll get what he got. Amen? There's a life to live. God knows all about it. His Holy Spirit is our guide. Right? Do you understand that one of the major functions of the Holy Spirit is to guide you? Guidance. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the beginning from the end because time is not for God. Time is for you. Do you understand that God lives outside of time? Do you understand that? Hey, do you understand according to His Word that He's been to the end and sees it and knows it already? So what He has given us is His Holy Spirit to guide us. How can He guide us if He hasn't been there? I mean, I'm telling you, it might have blown some of your minds, but it's past what you can think. It's past what you can picture, but get a picture of a God who is everything that He says He is, knows the beginning from the end, and will guide you along the way if you let Him. If you let Him. What does 2 Peter say? Chapter 1. It gives the saved person a list of things to do. And at the end it says, if you do these things, you will never stumble. What a promise. What an incredible promise to not stumble, to never falter, to never trip up. In other words, I've said this I don't know how many times, If makes something conditional, you makes it personal. Do is the action that it takes. If you do these things. In other words, he's saying this. If you follow the word of the Lord, there will be no times that you even falter. When you're following him, it's not a falter. It can't be. Isn't that an incredible promise? Peace. It's there for us. Peaceful peace. His peace. Not a manufactured peace. Not something that you can do in and of yourself. You can only attain this peaceful peace. This essence of peace. Walking in peace does not mean that there's not storms. It means that you're not going to get killed in the storm. Do you know that there's actually a treaty right now out of a conflict between the United States? And I almost wish I hadn't started it, but I know that this is fact. I know this is true. We have a treaty that's, it's like the war was never ended. It's just that, I'm sorry, it's not the United States, it's two other countries. They have a treaty between themselves. The war has never officially been stopped. They just decided with this treaty that we're going to stop killing each other. What is it, George?
Korea,
thank you. I said conflict, so I was close. Korean conflict. Thank you, history. Minus. The Korean conflict, it was never settled, was it? It's just decided we're going to stop killing each other. Can I tell you that this battle between the spirit and flesh is going to go on? But what you're doing by putting your trust in God and walking in His peace is to saying, you won't kill me. Enemy, you won't kill me. You won't kill my peace. You won't steal my peace. You won't get my peace. I will follow the Lord because you're not my source. You didn't. Here's what you say. You didn't give me the peace. You can't take it away. Stop giving up your peace to someone that didn't give it to you to start with. You're getting ripped off. My peace comes from the Lord. This is a disciplined way to live. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Those are the things that you do. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. That's the result. Is anybody going through anything this morning? The whole world's going through something right now. Do you know what your response can be to all of that? Peace. You can hear a tailor-made news report to whatever side of a fence that you're on. If you choose to do that. But my peace is not going to be determined by what somebody reports. Whose report will you believe? I will believe, we will believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Will you choose peace today? I'll choose it. Will you have peace and live in peace and walk in peace? Yes, you will if you'll follow these steps. Be of comfort. Be of one mind. Father, thank you for your word. There's comfort in your word. Your words are comforting to us. And there are things that we go through because we live this life, and this life is not without conflict. But help us not to let the enemy steal from us something that he never gave in the first place. Our peace comes from you. And the way to obtain it, we have done. But the way to keep it, we must do. Help us with that, Lord. Help us to see the comfort that comes from knowing that we're not by ourselves. Others have come through this, and we're going to come through. God, give us that resolution to be courageous as we walk, to trust in you, to get our mind right, to get our mind set, and to get it fixed on you. Lord, let our minds be renewed as often as it takes, so that we always come back to what your word says. If we get off track, we can always come back. You will always bring us back to the place we need to be. You will always recalibrate our minds if we'll take the time, say, Lord, renew it, renew it, renew my mind, recalibrate. I made a wrong turn. I thought this thought, I went there. I knew I shouldn't. I knew you were warning me not to. Recalibrate me, Lord. Get me back on track so that I can live in your peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand?